You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, we have an incredible show lined up this morning, and this is a special one-hour edition of Life Talk, and we're going to be taking your calls, your questions, and comments live here on the air at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And it's a great show, not only because of the relevant topics, but because of the tremendous guests that we have today. Today's topic is teens, sex, and chastity. And one of our guests is who I believe is the best chastity speaker in the nation, Jason Everett. And those of you who know me, you know that I was a full-time chastity speaker nationally before I came to the Archdiocese. I spoke to more than 200,000 teens and young adults about this issue of chastity. In fact, people would ask me, don't you get tired of that? And I would say, no way. There's nothing more important. This is such an important message for young people. But I admit, this guy is better than I was. He is just fantastic. Last April, we had him in to speak to more than 3,200 teens in the Archdiocese in 2.5 days. He's spoken with hundreds of thousands of teens throughout the country. I have never seen anything like the amazing response that he got from teens of all different socioeconomic and ethnic backgrounds during his presentations. And, even teens coming forward after presentations, giving him things like birth control pills, Playboy memorabilia, saying, take this out of my life. I am making a new beginning. So friends, don't believe what society is saying, that it's hopeless. That is a lie. Teens deserve the best message. Maybe you have a son or daughter and you're wondering, how do I instill this message in my kids? Maybe you have a kid in college. Is it too late for them, you might be thinking? Or maybe you yourself have made some choices in this area that you regret and you're wondering how to make a new beginning. We're going to be talking about all of that with Jason today. But before we get into that, I have another guest that I'm really excited to introduce. You know, friends, Respect Life Month is right around the corner. Now, you might be thinking, well, what is Respect Life Month? Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops designated every October as Respect Life Month and the first weekend in October as Respect Life Sunday, when the Catholic Church celebrates the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And the Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Chicago, the very Reverend John Canary, sent a letter to all priests in parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago, stating that he hopes that every parish in the Archdiocese participates in Respect Life Sunday, giving Respect Life homilies, having prayers and petitions incorporated, and so forth. And here to discuss this with me briefly is Margie Mansko-Breen. She is the program manager of the Respect Life Office. She's my right-hand woman. And among other things, she coordinates all of our post-abortion healing ministries for the Archdiocese. But she also works with more than 200 parish Respect Life coordinators in parishes throughout the Archdiocese. She's a big expert on all of these life issues. Margie, welcome to Life Talk.
Thank you, Mary Louise. I hope I can live up to that.
I'm sure that you will. Now, first of all, there's a big event coming up on September 30th, the Archdiocese's official celebration launching Respect Life Month. Tell us about this event on September 30th.
Well, this event is going to be so awesome and so spiritual, and it was something that you thought up a few years ago, that we needed to do a Mass in Respect Life Month, and we needed to get our parish coordinators revved up. You know, we needed to get them blessed and commissioned, and so we had Cardinal George, you know, at the first two, and this is our third annual Celebration of Life Mass, and it's on September 30th, which is the eve of Respect Life Sunday. It's the Mass of Anticipation, for those of you who don't know the church lingo, but that it does count as Respect Life Sunday. And it's going to be so beautiful because it's at St. Hyacinth Basilica in Chicago, and that is a beautiful Polish basilica. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a church so beautiful, you know, besides St. Mary of the Angels and some of the other churches, you know, around the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. And we hope the Cardinal's going to be there. You know, he's been going through, you know, a tough recovery, but we really pray and we hope that he'll be there. But if not, we'll have our Vicar General, Father Canary, and a lot of priests from around the Archdiocese. So we're very excited. This will be a trilingual Mass in English, Spanish, and Polish.
Wow, that's reflecting the diversity, some of the diversity of our Archdiocese, which is tremendous.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. Beautiful Polish music, too, as well as, you know, some older Latin hymns. Well, I mean, you worked on that with your music background. We send Mary Louise out to deal with all the music issues when
yeah,
we
for
have
once,
Masses.
My, I actually, that's the only area where my music degrees are actually helpful here. But
it's important.
But, you know, some of our friends may out there listening may have a question or comment. Give us a call, 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. And Marge, I understand that the relics of Blessed, Saint Gianna Beretta Mola will also be at the Mass, and people will be have an opportunity to venerate the relics afterwards.
Yes, Saint Gianna was a wonderful saint because she was a layperson, a family person, a doctor, a mother, and she was told that if she didn't abort her child, they needed to take out a tumor that was pressing against her womb, and that they would have to abort the child to get to the tumor. But she said, no, you're going to do this carefully, and I know that, you know, just spare my child. Please, you know, I'm pro-life. I'm Catholic. We can't do this. And so they did the operation. Everything looked fine. But after the baby was born, a week later, Gianna passed.
Wow.
And so it just shows, it's a testimony to, you know, motherhood and life and being pro-life that someone would give their life for their baby.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. Know, what a powerful witness from this and very accomplished woman back in the, I'm not sure if it was the 1930s, but she was a physician at that time. It was very unusual for women to, you know, to be so accomplished in their career. So praise God. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Father Canary sent, so just recapping on that really quickly, that's September 30th at 7 p.m. at St. Hyacinth Basilica.
Yeah, and this is for all our Parish Respect Life coordinators. Come out, get commissioned. This is an annual commissioning, so it sticks for 1 year, okay? So you got to come back. You know, this is not a lifetime commissioning. A lot of, you know, ministries, they do this for, you know, the Eucharistic ministers and things like that. You get an annual commissioning, and then you go forth to do your work. And so we need to get this going.
That is terrific.
Other pro-lifers are welcome to come, too, and committee members in the parishes. Anyone doing pro-life, please come and get this commissioning and go forth and spread the gospel of life.
That sounds terrific. That's going to be very exciting. Now, as I mentioned earlier, our Vicar General, Father Canary, sent a letter to all priests in parishes stating that he would like every parish in the Archdiocese to participate in Respect Life Sunday. What issues did he ask priests to highlight in their homilies for this weekend of September 30th through October 1st?
Well, oh gosh, there's a wide variety of issues, and it's so exciting to have this letter go out to all the pastors. And he said abortion, euthanasia, post-abortion healing, capital punishment, chastity, contraception, natural family planning, embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, artificial reproductive technologies, and vaccines derived from aborted fetal tissue, you know, tissue from aborted children. I mean, that's just amazing.
That is. And obviously, priests can't preach on all of those issues, but maybe choose one or several to focus on during their homilies. That's great because catechesis is so needed on these issues. Father Canary also suggested in his letter that priests work with their Parish Respect Life coordinator. What is a Parish Respect Life coordinator, and what did he suggest for those parishes who don't have a Parish Respect Life coordinator?
Well, a Respect Life coordinator is just, you know, a normal person, a parishioner in the parish who just believes in pro-life and knows the issues and works through us and, you know, is approved by the pastor and has all the information and brings the information that we give to them to the parish and helps educate, helps the pastor, because the pastor is over overwhelmed with a lot of duties. And so this is a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a large committee and they each split it up. You know, somebody puts bulletin announcements in weekly. You know, somebody is there to do, baby showers, you know, for needy moms or for crisis pregnancy centers. They do just, they bring in speakers mm-hmm. like yourself or myself or, you know, someone like Jason Everett to come into their parish to speak to a large group of people.
Tremendous. So that's an important ministry.
Yeah. And if they don't have a Respect Life coordinator, the Vicar General was asking, you know, please find someone that could be active in this ministry. And if not, you know, here's some information and here's how you can use it. You know, that's why this letter was important to go to the pastor.
That's terrific. Well, we're going to head to a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a little bit more with Margie Manscobreen. And then we'll be interviewing Jason Everett, whom I believe, folks, is the best chastity speaker in the nation. Maybe you have a son or daughter who is thinking about becoming sexually active outside of marriage. Maybe you yourself has been struggling with this. Stay with us. We'll be talking about all of these hot issues coming up here on Life Talk.
Have you ever doubted that pure love exists? You're not the only one. I had my heart broken by a guy I thought really loved me. Then I heard Jason Everett speak and felt like there was something to hope for after all. Jason has traveled across the country talking about the freedom chastity brings to relationships. He'll be here in Chicago on Sunday, September 10th at 6 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish in Palos Hills. There'll be music by worship leader Bill Richard and even the chance to be renewed through the sacrament of reconciliation. When I heard Jason speak, it changed my life, and I wouldn't miss seeing him speak again.
Sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago Chastity Education Initiative, Relevant Radio, and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of Chicago. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. That's 312-751-5355.
We deserve pure love. Don't settle for anything less.
Poverty is no stranger to Illinois. The number of people living in poverty in this state has jumped by more than 30% in the last 5 years. We have the highest rate of deep poverty in the Midwest. The poor are not only growing in numbers, they're also getting poorer. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development breaks the cycle of poverty. It funds programs to create jobs, increase affordable housing, and protect the rights of workers, seniors, immigrants, and the disabled. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Help break the cycle of poverty.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, what a great show we have lined up today. We're going to be chatting with Jason Everett, National Chastity Speaker, who has transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands of teens throughout the United States, talking about one of the most difficult issues in today's culture, which is sexual purity. But before we get to that, we're chatting with Margie Manscobreen from the Respect Life office about Respect Life Month coming up in October with Respect Life Sunday, October 1st this year. That's when the Catholic Church throughout the United States celebrates and recognizes the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And Margie, before we went to the break, we were talking about a letter that the Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Chicago sent out to all parish priests asking for all parishes to participate in Respect Life Sunday this year from September 30th to October 1st. And Father Canary's letter mentioned the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops' wonderful materials that they put together. And friends, I want to let you know, these parish kits are just beautiful. If you feel like you your parish maybe hasn't received one, we've sent these out to all the parishes, but you can give us a call at 312-751-5355 to get these materials or other materials. And the theme this year is created, redeemed, loved by God, priceless, respect life. It's a beautiful theme. But some people may feel, you know, I'd like to do something pro-life in my parish, but I'm not sure where to begin. And Margie, I understand that you're taking a page here from David Letterman. You've compiled a top 10 list of some easy pro-life things that a parish can do to raise awareness and educate and have prayer to protect the sanctity of human life from conception until natural death. Can you just highlight just a few of the things that you have on that top 10 list?
Sure. I'll do it as quick as possible. We're not going to do the whole top 10 list because that would take forever, I think. but number one is include a pro-life petition at each Sunday Mass. And even if you don't have a coordinator in your parish, you could go to Father and say, look, this there should be one pro-life petition at every Mass, and they're easy to get. So you can go get it for him at the USCCB website at www.usccb.org. You go to departments, then you go down to pro-life activities, and then you'll see a link for prayer and liturgy, and there should be archives in there. But I think that they're changing some things, so you'll have to, if you see it today, they might not have the archive yet for September and October.
But you can also give us a call then.
We'll email
like
it
that,
to you.
Right, yeah. At 312-751-5355 and ask for the Word of Life, which are those petitions.
Yeah, and so, and then step number three in mind, I'm skipping over two, but my third step is offer parish support to anyone who's experiencing an unwanted pregnancy or being pressured to have an abortion. I think this is very important, and you can combine this with my step number 10, which is start Project Gabriel. It's a ministry, a parish ministry that has women and families from the parish rallying around women who are in need and who are in pregnancies, crisis pregnancies, who may be all alone, have nothing, or just need a little bit of support.
And that's a crucial component. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, you care about the baby, but not the woman. Or they say, you know, you say not to have an abortion, but you don't offer help. Project Gabriel offers real material, emotional, and spiritual support to women who are facing unexpected pregnancies to give them that support so that they can allow their baby to live. Praise God.
Yeah. And if you had a sister who was, you know, pregnant, what would you do? You'd rally around her, right? Your whole family. And so this is kind of like that. This is a sister, and really a sister in Christ. And she might not even be from the parish, but she's from your community. What a wonderful thing. And actually, it's a great bridge builder from, you know, people of all different, you know, political persuasions. It doesn't matter. It will bring people together in the church.
Absolutely. That's great. So Project Gabriel, again, you can call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355 if you'd like to get involved with that. And Margie, maybe we can move on to the vigil on October 7th. Would that be okay? Or did you want to highlight one more?
I was going to highlight one more thing, and that was going to be about Project Rachel. And that's our post-abortion healing ministry. Yeah, and it's really simple. And you can call our office and get Project Rachel business cards, brochures, and little cards that you can put out in the restroom at, you know, church, anywhere. You know, you can go to the mall and put those out, put them in the vestibule of the church, the narthex, wherever it's okay to put information. Just please do that. And we also have a Bible study that's going to be starting, it looks like in January, but we're still looking for facilitators. So if you're interested, if you're a woman and you feel called to help other women, please give us a call. And you've got that number, 312-751-5355.
Terrific. That is really exciting. Now, Margie, we're going to wrap up with this discussion of this vigil that's happening on October 7th. Bishop Manns is going to be leading a procession to an area abortion facility and praying there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. On October 7th, the Helpers of God's Precious Infants, co-sponsored by our office, Respect Life Office, our priest advisory board, because we have our own priest advisory board. It's very cool. and the Mundelein Seminary. Seminarians for Life, that's our seminary here for the Archdiocese, our major seminary. And we'll have Mass at noon with Bishop Manns, and then that's at Our Lady of Pompeii at 1224 West Lexington Street. And there'll be free parking, and then we'll process to the Family Planning Abortion Clinic. That's a little over a mile, and the bishop will lead the procession. And that clinic is at 659 West Washington, and right across from the clinic will be the Statue of Our Lady of the New Millennium, but she will be there from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. So people can just go there all day or parts of the day, or they can do the whole thing and go to the Mass at noon, process over, and then stay there until 6 if they feel hardcore.
That sounds great. So on October 7th, The vigil will begin at 9 a.m. at the parking lot across the street from Family Planning Associates, or you can join us at noon for the Mass at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, which will be celebrated by Bishop Manns, one of our wonderful auxiliary bishops here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And then join Bishop Manns for a prayerful procession to the abortion facility to pray there in this parking lot across the street.
Yes, and if you can't walk that procession, you can drive your car over and park over there.
Great.
Please feel free to do that.
That sounds terrific. Well, Margie, thank you so much for joining us today on Life Talk.
You're welcome.
And friends, again, if you want any more information about those activities, you can call our office, the Respect Life office, at 312-751-5355. Again, that's 312-751-5355. And stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to be spending the next 40 minutes of the program with Jason Everett, the finest chastity speaker in the nation. This young man has seen it all, friends. Stay with us. We'll be right back, and we'll be taking your calls here on Life Talk.
Not too late to register your pre-K children in one of the excellent Catholic elementary schools in Chicago and the suburbs. Registration is open for 3- and 4-year-old pre-K children, as well as kindergarten through 8th grade student transfers. Perhaps you've heard the impressive numbers, test scores above national standards, a 19-to-1 student-teacher ratio, a 97% attendance rate, students who go on to successful high school and college experiences and become the leaders of tomorrow. Go to the Catholic school of your choice for more information, or go online and visit the school's webpage at www.archchicago.org. That's www.archchicago.org. Catholic schools, where faith and education meet.
Each year in Chicago, 3,000 children are reported sexually abused. The Chicago Children's Advocacy Center restores the trust that was once lost. It's a place where professionals come together under one roof and abused children tell their stories. A place where they can get help immediately. Support the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center. For more information or to help, call 1-877-703-HOPE or visit chicagocac.org.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, I am so thrilled to have joining with me on this program today the young man whom I believe is the finest chastity speaker in the nation, and that is Jason Everett, who joins us from California. He's with Catholic Answers, and he's the author of a number of books, including If You Really Loved Me and Pure Love, both of which our office here at the Archdiocese distributes free of charge to all Catholic schools, parishes, and youth groups throughout the Archdiocese. Jason is a father. He has two young children, John Paul and Colby. His lovely wife is Kristalina Everett. Jason, welcome to Life Talk.
Thank you for having me on.
It's a privilege to have you on, Jason. We're just thrilled to have you here with us. And before we go any further, you know, I'm sure that many of our listeners out there really struggle with this issue of chastity. Maybe you yourself are struggling with this issue as an adult, as a single adult, thinking about how to live this out in your life. Maybe you've made choices in your past that you're not proud of, and you'd like to make a new beginning and come back to God on this issue and live in His light. Maybe you have a son or daughter who is an adolescent or a teen or even a college student, and you're wondering, you know, is it too late for them? Or maybe you're wondering, how can I communicate effectively with my child on this issue? How can I raise them in the faith on this difficult issue of sexuality? Give us a call at 312-751-1979. Jason has talked with hundreds of thousands of teens across the country. He is an expert, so don't hesitate. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. Jason, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in speaking to teens about chastity and why. Why did you get involved with this work?
I think a lot of it began when I was in high school. I started helping out on youth retreats with our high school youth program at the church. And when I got to college, I was leading those same retreats. And when you go on these retreats, you tend to get pretty deep with the teens as to what's going on in their day-to-day lives behind closed doors, the struggles that they're facing. And from doing this for 4 years, I really, you know, got a sense that the average teenager in America is really struggling with the issue of sexuality, especially when it comes to their faith. You know, Christ said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so I think if the devil wants to do anything in the world today, he wants to keep people from seeing God. And so one of the greatest tactics that he uses, I think, is to blind us spiritually through our own impurities, and that makes it difficult to see God's presence in this life. And so part of it was the time I was spending with the teens. The other part of it was the time I was spending in front of an abortion clinic in Pittsburgh. I did about 3 years of sidewalk counseling while I was in college.
Wow, that's great.
And, you know, when you stand in front of the door of an abortion clinic and you talk to these women, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, you get this inevitable sense that I just feel late. You know, where was I in this girl's life 6 months ago when she met this guy who never truly cared about her? Why couldn't I have talked to her then so she wouldn't have to be in this situation, you know, with tears streaming down her face while she's rushing into this building, you know, with her boyfriend pushing her from behind the back, you know? And so I got this sense that, you know, I'm treating a symptom, but I'm not going back to the cause. And so I, through my love of the pro-life movement and my love of teens, motivated me to want to speak on chastity, and God just seemed to open the doors.
That's great. A lot of people might say, you know, your work, I mean, this is hopeless. Most teens are sexually active, and your work, that just seems hopeless. What do you think? Is that true?
Well, for one, they'd be statistically wrong. The Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance, it's a big study that comes out every couple of years, recently gave out the numbers for state by state what percentage of teens are sexually active. And nationwide, the majority of high school students are virgins. It's about 54% of them are virgins. Now, this is not a stat that you're going to see on MTV or, you
right.
know, or even the nightly news that the majority of high school students are virgins. You know, but these are the numbers. And it's hard to wrap our mind around this, for one, because the media portrays this sexually saturated society, mm-hmm. and also because the teens themselves, who are sexually active, do all the talking, while the abstinent ones stay quiet and sometimes even pretend that they are sexually active in order to be accepted.
Right. That's a good point. Our listeners, some of you might have a question or a comment for Jason. Give us a call at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. You know, Jason, you mentioned that the influence of MTV and certainly the media has a tremendous influence on teens. It seems like sexual content is getting more and more play in the media, even though teen sexual activity is decreasing. Is that your sense? And what do you think? Do you think that the media influences teens' behaviors?
It absolutely does. There's a study that was released not too long ago where they wanted to find out which beer is the most popular amongst underage drinkers. And they found number one, number two, number three, number four, and so on. Hmm. And then they said, well, let's find out which beer companies have the largest budget for advertising. And sure enough, the number one most popular beer with the teens was the beer with the biggest budget for advertising. The number two most popular beer for the teens was the beer company with the second largest marketing budget, and so straight down the list. And so the teen might like to believe, well, I may watch that TV show, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go out and do it. Hmm. But, you know, subconsciously we are affected by the things that we see. And, you know, TV is supposed to affect us. Music is supposed to affect us. You know, what we see should be taken into our hearts and our minds. That's why when you listen to sacred music, you feel lifted up. It's the purpose of music to impact your heart. And so those who, you know, deceive themselves by saying, well, I can watch stuff, but it's not going to affect me, especially when it comes to sexuality, it's a subject that sticks more than tar.
Hmm. Now, Jason, what can parents do? You know, we have a lot of parents right now out there, I'm sure, who are listening and who are thinking, gosh, you know, how can I compete with the media? Is this hopeless for my teen? How can I compete with all of those pressures that my teen is facing to become sexually active?
The National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy surveyed teens and asked them, what's the biggest thing that impacts the decisions you make when it comes to sex? Is it TV? Is it your friends? And the teens nationwide by a landslide said it was my parents and what they brought me up to believe. And so a parent must get over an insecurity about talking about sexuality with the teens, because if they're not talking to the teens about it, the teens are hearing about it elsewhere. And so you got to get over the insecurities. You've got to come to it from a mother and father perspective, not just a, hey, mom, it's time for the birds and the bees. It's your job with the kids. They've both got to be involved in it. Also, to pray for your kids, to fast for your kids, to bring prayer into the family. And I think most importantly is for the parents to practice chastity within marriage. Now, chastity doesn't mean abstinence. There's a lot of confusion on those two terms.
Right.
Abstinence means no sex. Chastity means the use of sex according to God's designs. And so as a single person, that means one thing. As a married or religious, it means another. And so for a married person practicing chastity, it means you fulfill the vows you spoke at the altar when it comes to your sexuality. Are you faithful? Not just not having affairs, but faithful with your imagination, with your heart, when it comes to the vows you made to be open to life. You know, are you truly open to life, or do you deliberately sterilize acts of intercourse in order to avoid kids?
Right. Jason, these are such great topics and issues, and we need to actually head to a break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking more about these key issues here that Jason is bringing up. And I invite our callers or our listeners to give us a call at 312-751-1979. I know that we have a couple of you on hold there, and we'll get back to you right after the break. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. The lines are open to take your calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Catholic Conversation here on Life Talk.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It is comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 42 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries. Serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Hi, I'm Sean Harriott. Join me 6 days a week as we help bridge the gap between faith and everyday life, talking about the intersection of faith and everyday life, and help you live your life in the world as a Catholic.
Plus, get all the latest Chicagoland news, traffic, and weather. Start your day with Morning Air on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. It's a Morning Air.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, we're blessed to have Jason Evert with us today. He's a national chastity speaker who has addressed hundreds of thousands of teens throughout the United States. And he came to the Archdiocese in April and spoke to more than 3,200 teens in 2.5 days. And he's going to be returning to the Archdiocese of Chicago coming up this Sunday. He'll be here September 10th through the 15th to speak to another about 7,000 teens throughout the Archdiocese, including some evening events open to the public. And Jason, before we went to a break, we were discussing some key issues of openness to life in marriage and also in particular faithfulness in marriage when it comes not just to not committing adultery, but also purity in terms of the mind, in terms of imagination. And actually, we have a caller, Jason, so I'd like to go to the phones if possible right now.
Absolutely.
In fact, I want to invite our listeners to give us a call at 312-751-1979. Maybe you have a question for Jason about this issue in terms of living out your own life. Maybe you have a question about what exactly does the church teach. Maybe you don't agree. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. And right now, we have Brian from Chicago on the phone. Brian, thanks so much for calling Life Talk, and you're live on the air.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Mary Louise. Jason, I had a question for you about pornography. I know it's really available on the Internet these days. How do you talk to kids about pornography and why it's good to avoid it and sort of tips for avoiding it and that sort of thing?
Okay. Great question, Brian. The way I talk to the kids about it is I use the word I a lot more than the word you, because I had plenty of the pornography growing up. Probably the first time I saw the stuff, probably first or second grade, we found some in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And growing up, there was always, you know, a relative or a friend or someone lived next door whose dad had this stuff. And it was everywhere. And this was before widespread use of the Internet. You know, it used to be you had to go find the porn. Now the porn is finding you, and you have to choose to deliberately avoid it. Now, a couple of things that you can do to avoid it, there are filtering softwares that you can put on the computer. One is you could go to filterreview.com, and that's a different review of many different types of filters that you can use to keep this stuff out of the computer. But to look at the morality of pornography, and it once been said that Pope John Paul II said the problem with pornography is not that it shows too much, but that it shows too little, meaning that all it's showing is the body. It doesn't reveal the entire person. Mm-hmm. And so you just subject a person to that all you are is a collection of body parts. And as a young teen myself, when I looked at this stuff, I was thinking, look, it's not like I'm getting anyone pregnant. It's not like I'm passing around diseases. I'm not forcing her to do anything. You know, it's just the privacy of my own house, and nobody's getting hurt. But I don't think that could be any further from the truth, because when you look at pornography, as a guy, you actually train your brain to get sexually aroused by the things that you're looking at. Now, you do that for a couple of years, and you think it's exciting at the time, but you're actually training yourself to get bored with the bodies of impossibly perfect supermodels, because you'll only look at the woman 5 or 10 seconds, and then you go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. You try this for a couple years, then you get married, and you think you're going to be captivated by the body of one wife until death do you part. It doesn't work, because you've trained yourself in dissatisfaction. It warps the way you look at every woman on the street, measuring them by the perceived value of their body. And so it makes a man shallower and shallower. It turns a guy into a spiritual midget, where he's not only...
I like it. I like it. I bet that really resonates with teens, too. Spiritual midget. Wait a minute. I definitely don't want to be that.
Yes, I mean, it emasculates a guy, because if you can't lead yourself to purity, how will you lead a family there? How will you lead a date there? And so, as a young man, I know the images took, you know, 5 seconds to see, but they take a decade to forget what you saw. Mm. And so it's important that someone who struggles with this be open and honest with in confession and go to a priest and go often. And every time you fall and go, even if you haven't fallen, go. You know, I'm sure you got other sins that, you know, we're struggling with. So the Sacrament of Reconciliation was very helpful for me. Devotion to the Eucharist, adoration, daily mass. Also, devotion to Our Lady. You know, we need to have our concept of womanhood restored. It's just not a matter of shoving women out of our mind, but having our way of looking at women elevated again.
Absolutely. Brian, thank you so much for that call. That's a great question. And Jason, I really like what you brought up there about the concept of women. You know, what I don't understand is there are all these groups out there that say that they advocate for women. But in fact, when it comes to something like pornography, which is totally exploiting women, which is totally degrading to us, they don't in any way oppose that, which is just crazy.
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now called The Privilege of Being a Woman, which kind of looks funny when I'm reading this on the plane and someone looks over and sees what I'm reading, but as a guy. But this is an awesome little book, and she talks about, Alice von Hildebrand, wonderful philosopher, she talks about how feminists are really the greatest enemy of women because they're actually opposed to femininity. They see it in some way as weakness, as just submission, as
right.
just being a doormat,
mm-hmm.
and they don't see the incredible power with a woman who's truly feminine.
Absolutely. That concept of authentic feminism, what the early feminists were very pro-life, defending women and unborn children, it's just that concept of authentic feminism really excites me. We have another call. Actually, Father Loya is on the line. Father Loya, thank you so much for calling Life Talk.
Thank you, Mary Louise, and God bless you and Jason for your work. Just a comment on that might be helpful for parents. You know, there's some encouraging statistics that you said about where 54% of teenagers are virgins and so on. And these statistics are you know, they're encouraging. However, what happens though, sometimes the teenagers will define that in very narrow terms, that they're not having sexual intercourse, but then they'll be kind of into other things. It'll be like a bit of a disconnect sometimes with the rest of their lives. Like, for instance, they might be on MySpace.com, and they might have so-called friends on there that present themselves provocatively, or maybe the teens themselves
right.
might dress very much like the world with styles of today, not knowing they're kind of being provocative.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that for parents, what's helpful is to try to teach in terms of an almost like an ethos, to make more of a connection between virginity, you know, chastity, what they see and do at church, you know, the sacraments, how they dress, their friends, and so on. In other words, to make it a little more integrated and holistic. Because I'm finding sometimes teens are compartmentalizing their concept of chastity and of virginity.
Yes, absolutely. Jason, any thoughts about that? How can we get teens to understand chastity in a more consistent way, not just, oh, it's not having sex, or it's how much can I go and still technically be called a virgin, which it's not, but a more holistic concept?
Yeah, it's a terrific point that Father Tom brought up there. A lot of times the teens do think in these terms of, well, so long as I'm technically not having sex, I'm being good, you know, so I can hook up with the guys at the party, I can do this with a guy as long as I really love him, and I can do this, and I'm being good because those other people at school are so much worse than I am. And a way to try to get beyond this is to really look at what is chastity. John Paul II, in his book Love and Responsibility, said a quote I love. He said, chastity can only be thought of in association with the virtue of love. Now, without understanding the connection between love and chastity, it just seems like a bunch of rules. You know, don't do this, don't go this far, and then you're being a good boy, and then you're being pure. It misses the heart of the matter, that chastity is not about following a list of rules or staying on one side of the boundary.
Right.
Chastity is a transformation of our hearts, the way we so much as look at a woman. That's why Christ said, if you so much as look at a woman with adultery or with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And so when we hear this, we feel, as guys, well, then it's over for me. Then it's impossible. But we've got to understand sexual desire is not the same thing as lust. Sexual desire is something that God gave us, that Adam was drawn to the body of Eve, and he felt to make a gift of himself to her. And God wants to get us back to that purity of heart that Adam used to have with Eve. He wants to restore our hearts. And so with chastity, it's about a whole transformation of the way we look at men and women and the way we approach the whole gift of our sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to give the teens the big picture. It's not just about staying on one side of the line. It's about transforming our hearts and the way we relate to other people.
Oh, that is beautiful. Father Loya, thank you so much for your calling, your great work on theology of the body. We need to head to a break right now, but I do invite calls because we have a line open here. Give us a call at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. When we come back, we're going to be taking more of your calls. Mary from Evanston, stay with us there on hold, and we're going to be having more great conversation with Jason Evert about teens, sex, and chastity. So give us a call. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
poverty is no stranger to Illinois. The number of people living in poverty in this state has jumped by more than 30% in the last 5 years. We have the highest rate of deep poverty in the Midwest. The poor are not only growing in numbers, they're also getting poorer. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development breaks the cycle of poverty. It funds programs to create jobs, increase affordable housing, and protect the rights of workers, seniors, immigrants, and the disabled. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Help break the cycle of poverty.
Have you ever doubted that pure love exists? You're not the only one. I had my heart broken by a guy I thought really loved me. Then I heard Jason Everett speak and felt like there was something to hope for after all. Jason has traveled across the country talking about the freedom chastity brings to relationships. He'll be here in Chicago on Sunday, September 10th at 6 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish in Palos Hills. There'll be music by worship leader Bill Richard and even the chance to be renewed through the Sacrament of Reconciliation. When I heard Jason speak, it changed my life, and I wouldn't miss seeing him speak again.
Sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago, Chastity Education Initiative, Relevant Radio, and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of Chicago. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. That's 312-751-5355.
We deserve pure love. Don't settle for anything less.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're blessed to be speaking today with Jason Everett, a national chastity speaker with Catholic Answers, whom I believe is the finest chastity speaker in the country. Jason has a terrific website, by the way, that I'd like to share with all of you. It's www.pureloveclub.com. Again, that's pureloveclub.com. He's the author of a couple of books, including If You Really Loved Me and Pure Love, both of which are published through Catholic Answers. And Jason, before we went to the break, you were talking about how chastity is not just a matter of what a person can or can't do, but it's actually an entire outlook. So are you saying then that actually chastity is not saying that sex is bad?
No, sex is terrific. I remember Dr. Scott Hahn saying, you know, sex is not good. You know, Campbell's soup is good. You know, sex is not great. You know, I think he said Frosted Flakes, you know, they're great. You know, sex is beyond great. Sex is an incredible God-given gift. The problem is we, especially as Americans and especially young guys, we don't think about sex enough. And that might sound a little peculiar, but we talk about it and joke about it and dance the songs about it. But how often do we actually stop and think about sex? What is it? Who created it? What is its purpose? What are its designs? And so God wants us to be thinking about sex so we'll understand what a beautiful gift that is. Now, that's different to say God wants us to be imagining acts of intercourse and lust and things like that. You know, that's different from what I'm talking about understanding the purpose of God's given gift in sexuality. And so if we take a step back, John Paul II did this in his first 5 years of his pontificate and what was called the theology of the body, and took a deep look at the meaning of human sexuality. And he showed, you know, the Pope did in the first 5 years of this pontificate, how when a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, give themselves in this one flesh union of the marital act, it actually reflects the very inner life of the Trinity, and how it shows that God is love. And who is, what is love? Love is always a communion of persons united, you know, in love. And so in a self-giving, life-giving way. And so when a husband and a wife come together in their bodies, they make visible the invisible mystery of God, that he's love. And I know it sounds pretty heady and theological, and it's kind of hard to unpack 5 years of papal teaching, but it's a beautiful way to look at the gift of our sexuality, that we can make visible the very love of God on earth.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's terrific. You know, we're heading into the final stretch here with Jason Everett, and maybe some of our listeners have a question or a comment. Give us a call at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And Jason, I understand that you're going to be coming out to the Archdiocese of Chicago to speak on September 10th through 15th, and I just wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about when you'll be speaking and where. Some of you may have just heard that public service announcement concerning Life Night 2, the youth rally coming up that Jason will be speaking at. That's free and open to the public. That's this Sunday, September 10th at 7 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish in Palos Hills. And you can just show up, but if you're interested in more information, you can give us a call at the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. 312-751-5355. Now, maybe you're way up in Lake County and you'd think, hey, you know, I would like to see Jason, but Palos Hills is way too far away. Then come and join us on September 11th, the evening of September 11th at 7 p.m. at St. Peter Parish in Antioch. On September 12th, Jason will be speaking at Divine Infant Parish at 7 o'clock p.m. On the 13th, he'll be right in Chicago at St. Gertrude Parish on that near north side at 6:30 p.m. for a junior high presentation. That's the only presentation that Jason will be doing that's specifically geared to younger students. That'll be on September 13th at St. Gertrude's at 6:30 p.m. And then September 14th is his final evening presentation that's open to the public. That's at St. Peter Damian Parish in Bartlett at 7 p.m. So again, September 10th, Sacred Heart in Palos Hills at 7. September 11th, St. Peter Parish in Antioch at 7. September 12th, Divine Infant Parish in Westchester at 7. September 13th, St. Gertrude in Chicago at 6:30. And September 14th at St. Peter Damian in Bartlett at 7. Now, Jason, you have a really unique way of beginning your presentations. In fact, when I saw it, I was a little bit shocked. Tell our listeners about that.
Oh, well, I dress up a guy in a wig. Well, I ask for a guy volunteer. He comes up on stage, and I, you know, dress him up in his wig, and, you know, I pretend like we're going to discuss how far is too far. He's going to be the girl. I'll be the guy. And I act like we're, you know, I'm on a date at the Grand Canyon. I pick the guy up in my arms, and I walk him to the edge of the stage and kind of dangle him off. You know, asking myself, well, how far can I go to the edge, you know, without us actually falling? And, you know, the teens, you know, appreciate watching one of their classmates, you know, hanging off the edge of a, you know, 8-foot stage or whatever. And I get the point across that, you know, we don't ask this question when it comes to a date, you know, how far can I get to hurting the person? You know, we ask how far we can go to protect the person if we really love them. And so likewise, when it comes to our sexuality, if we're asking that question, how far can I get to the edge? You know, we're really asking the wrong question.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I start off the talk, because it really breaks the ice, because the kids, the teens come in thinking, oh, great, another boring, stupid sex talk. You know, I've heard it before. Oh, you know, okay, I'm going to get pregnant and die of an STD. And they kind of put chastity in a little box, and they don't understand how the whole purpose of chastity is to free us to love.
That's great. Jason, we have a few more calls, and actually this is going to be our last call for phone calls in here because our show is going to be wrapping up shortly. Give us a call at 312-751-1979. First, we're going to go to Mary in Evanston. Mary, you are live on Life Talk. Thanks so much for calling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mary Louise and Jason, for your such needed work. It's really a remarkable work. My question is, it's twofold. You know, one is, at what age do we begin to unpack the theology of the body with our children, particularly if we're homeschooling? And then the second one is, this: what you're teaching is, in many cases, so contrary to what's being taught, even in the sex ed at Catholic schools, as early as fourth and fifth grade, they're teaching them about homosexual acts and oral sex. And they're using textbooks that are not approved by either the Chicago Archdiocese or the USCCB. And I just was wondering what can be done about that, and how do parents who have still decided to stay in the system counter that?
Oh, those are great questions. Jason, first of all, resource for parents on theology of the body to teach their kids.
Well, a couple of things. One, a good one for the parents, because first the parents have to understand what the whole theology of the body is. And I'd recommend Good News About Sex and Marriage by Christopher West for the parents. It's kind of providential that you ask the question today, because I believe today we're sending off to the printer for publication Theology of the Body for Teens. It's a high school and youth group curriculum that's going to be implemented, you know, God willing, into schools across the country. And you can, it's going to be available through Ascension Press. It's ascensionpress.com, and we'll also eventually have it on pureloveclub.com. And what this is a high school level 12-session workbook that'll help the teacher explain the theology of the body to kids in high school. But I'd recommend starting before high school with your own teens, or even 5-year-olds. Get a book like The Princess and the Kiss or The Squire and the Scroll. We have those on Pure Love Club. They're little storybooks that you can read to a kid as early as they can understand a little story, and it just talks about, you know, your body's a gift. And, you know, the gift of purity. And it doesn't get into sexuality and the birds and the bees, but if you can understand, hey, I'm a gift. Hey, you know, purity is a gift. You know, innocence is great. You can start understanding these concepts of love and self-respect and you being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then when it comes time to do the more birds and the bees type thing, it fits into place. And I also recommend against giving the big talk. I think it should be a series of little talks that grows in progression over the whole course of their life instead of waiting for some moment when they're in fifth grade or whatever when you just drop all the info on them at once.
Right.
And so to do it in a gradual way, but I would recommend that Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum, and it should be out in about 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you, Jason. And then Mary's second question, and we want to kind of go quickly because we have one more call that we want to get to before the end of the show. But Mary's second question about schools using curricula that have sexual content that aren't approved, you know, I would recommend contacting the Archdiocese of Chicago about that. You can contact the Office for Catholic Schools if they are in the Archdiocese, that is. You can contact the Office for Catholic Schools, or you can contact our office. So I recommend starting with the Office for Catholic Schools. They have a person there who is in charge of curriculum, and you can reach them at the Archdiocese's general number at 312-751-8200. And otherwise, you can also contact us since we do handle the chastity education. We work closely with OCS on those issues as well. And our number is 312-751-5355. And so, Mary, thank you very much for that call. And Jason, we're going to head to another call right away, and that is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling, and you are live on Life Talk.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Everett, for being there. As a foster mother, I have a child 12 years old who I believe has been exposed visually to inappropriate sexual behavior. And I would like to know what material might be helpful for his healing in trying to cease the sexual act or content as something holy. Well, right now he sees it as something enticing and exciting. And while we have been doing those little good talks and acknowledging the goodness of sex for holy married life, he doesn't see that. I mean, his concept was formed pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would recommend, because young people want to know how to love. What is love? What is this gift of sexuality all about? They've got a million questions, but they're pretty afraid to ask them because they don't want you to know that they're actually wondering about these things. And so resources I'd recommend, if you can bring him to, you know, the junior high talk or even maybe one of the high school talks if you think he's more advanced, bring him, you know, next week. Also, on the website, pureloveclub.com, we have a whole list of different resources of books and tapes and CDs and DVDs. A nice simple one, perhaps, to start out with is a little 32-page booklet I wrote called Pure Love, and it's a little question-and-answer format. And it's just a short and sweet little read. And if you want something bigger, there's a book on there called If You Really Loved Me. And, you know, his concept of sexuality wasn't formed overnight, and nor will it be renewed overnight. And so pray for him, fast for him, and try to put these good resources around. And if he acts hesitant, pay him $5 to read it. Pay him $10 to read it. Now, whatever's going to work, you know. I know moms have paid their children like $50 to come to a chastity talk, you know. So, but I don't want to make you broke in the process, but, you know, anything that'll work, so.
That's great. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your call. And Jason, again, maybe we can put out that information on when you'll be speaking. If you'd like to bring your kids to a presentation by Jason Everett, again, we have 5 events open to the public that are free of charge. September 10th at Sacred Heart Parish in Palos Hills at 7. September 11th at St. Peter Parish in Antioch at 7. September 12th at Divine Infant Parish in Westchester at 7. September 13th at St. Gertrude in Chicago at 6:30, and September 14th at St. Peter Damian Parish in Bartlett at 7. And if you'd like more information, if you need those addresses or directions, you can give us a call, 312 312-751-5355. Again, that's 312-751-5355. Don't miss this opportunity. Even if your kid is sexually active or you suspect that, bring them, because I have seen, Jason, you received packages of birth control pills and Playboy memorabilia from students the last time you were speaking out here, weren't you?
Yeah, I think we got 16 Playboy necklaces from the girls that they didn't want to wear anymore.
So. It's just amazing. Praise God for the conversions that he is making happen through your work, Jason. And if listeners want to get in touch with you, where can they go?
PureLoveClub.com is our website, and that's hard to remember. Just Catholic.com is Catholic Answers, who we work for, and all you do is click on their website on the word chastity, and it'll take you straight to us. And I would ask, as you said, for our listeners, please, to pray for this upcoming week, and all the teens, pray, go to Mass fast, and that would mean the world to me.
That's great. Jason, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on. God bless.
God bless you. And friends, we'll look forward to chatting with you next month. We're always here the first Wednesday of the month at 9 a.m. here on Life Talk. God bless you, and please pray for the success of Jason's presentations in the Archdiocese of Chicago next week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 a.m. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.